Hello everyone. Welcome back to my class lecture 3. This is Dr. Mok. Nice to meet you again. Before starting lecture, let me make sure again you have to have lecture note and print it out before you listening it. Otherwise, you will not able to understand what I taught because my lecture was reduced as much as possible due to limited time in sending file to you. Okay, today I would like to think about Jesus' leadership as a visionary, servant leadership, and shepherd leadership as well. Okay, let's go to topic of visionary as great leader. Vision quietly make up our doubt. Vision is the ingredient of leadership, as one student said. Leaders teach us the right way and make inspiring speeches. Vision is like a sign that tells us which way to go. It is like a bridge that takes us to the future from the present. Leadership expert Warren Bennis said, "Vision captivates the mind." He described vision as a must-have for leaders. Leaders get to know how to make people pay attention through vision, but also learn to be careful with that attention. Many say the following about William Perry, the founder of CBS Radio and Television. "Even while sitting in the small office of a nearly bankrupt company in New York, he was not looking at this small desk, but he was able to look at millions of Americans in rural areas. Many of them were living in home without electricity. He envisioned audience when there were no audiences. Not only did he have vision, he knew how to use that vision. By focusing on the vision, leader influence not physical resource of organization, but spiritual resource such as value, the commitment, and the passion of the organization." Charles Swindoll say in his book, "Vision is created by faith, sustained by hope, caught fire by imagination, and strengthened by passion. Vision is to look further ahead than what in front of you. It is deeper than dream and wider than ideology." Ideology. Are you agree? Vision include wider view beyond what is projected, what is safe, and what is expected. Leaders lead talk, observe, and questions to seek information on how to ignite the vision. And this vision becomes stronger and stronger to bring others to that vision. As Terry Horan asked, "Who make the vision? Is it God or man? Or is it both? Terry said, vision is something God has made in working in us. God creates the vision and we accept that vision. We must accept God's vision is to be my vision. The vision becomes the goal we strive to achieve as His people. The vision comes from our effort to let the will of God known to the world. The vision brings answer from us and awakens our attention. On the other hand, goal is something we pursue. If we are part that make up the body of Christ, the question is not where I want to go, but where He wants to lead me. Okay? Then what's the sign of Jesus' vision? It is mysterious, secret, invisible, but realistic and specific. Jesus was the pioneer, a visionary who lived for something not seen. Today's world is obsessed with seeing we see, seeing we count, and seeing we evaluate. We have a tendency to ask questions like how many, how much, how often, even in the work of God. As a result, we fall victim to the visible world. On the other hand, His vision was mysterious and to the degree secret. Jesus spoke to His disciples about the secret of the kingdom of God in parable. When the religious leader asked Jesus when the kingdom of God would be upon them, He said, the kingdom of God does not come with your careful observation, nor will people say, here it is, or there it is, because the kingdom of God is within you. In this respect, vision is the ability to see with faith. Faith lets us see things our eyes and experience have not seen with intelligence and imagination. Vision is the mind with great conviction that what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Amen. Okay, and then how Jesus' vision is. First, His vision was realistic and specific. Look, how many of His parables were related to such common everyday activity as fishing, sowing seed, harvesting them, selling and investing, cooking and potting. His vision was not religious. Vision was the way to see the reality of God taking place in our life. Jesus, just as Jesus said, He came to the world not to give us religions, but abundance of life. The leader who followed Jesus must have a vision that is not just related to the matter of religions and the church. If we truly accept the truth that Jesus Christ lives within His people and His lives, nothing we do will be worldly. Second, His vision was realistic and fundamental at the same time. As Jesus helped people to see what custom and the system intended to do through custom and vision, his vision was fundamental. We must be able to preserve what we already know, like habit and tradition, and also to focus on freeing ourselves to learn new things. During his public life, Jesus positively acknowledged many traditions passed down from the past. However, when tradition and the system distort the law and become tool to commit cruelty against the humanity, he fought the battle ferociously. For example, he went into the temple on the Sabbath and saw a man with a shriveled hand. As we have heard, the Pharisee intently looked at Jesus to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath, so that they can find the reason to persecute Jesus. Jesus knew their mindset to criticize and ask which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill life. When they remained silent, Jesus looked around at them in anger and deeply distressed at their stubborn heart. Say to the man, stretch out your hand. He stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored. Jesus' fundamentalism called on the people to see what is fundamental. He kept most of those numerous laws associated with the Moses' law and said, I did not come to destroy the law, but to complete it. But he did ask some fundamental question. Why do we keep the Sabbath? Is it intended to preserve the past, or is it intended to provide the people with a chance to serve God and other by giving them true freedom? So Jesus kept the Sabbath holy, but he did give it a new meaning. He was angry at the system that prohibited the people from looking at the object the way it was. Okay, next topic, the power and the authority of Jesus as a leader. Leadership scholar like to distinguish power from authority. They often say that the power is the leader's ability to control others, while authority is the leader's right to exercise that power. Tony Campbell said, the power is the ability to make others do what you wish, even if they themselves do not make that choice. Authority is the ability to make others do what you wish, because they know what you request is reasonable and justified. And Jesus showed the reign of God through strong word and action that defeated evil and liberated the people, rather than through rhetoric. Then, what is the power of the world? What is the power of word as leader? One of the officers sent over to arrest Jesus come back, shook his head, and said he had never seen a man speak like that. This is because he knew the power of his word when Jesus spoke. Simplicity, honesty, and impact could be seen in his word. His word was direct and full of life. His word was simple enough for even children to understand, as if they were picking up rock on the beach. However, his word also was deep and philosophical, so that the scholar may spend their life lifetime trying to understand what they mean, as if miner dig through the land looking for the coal under the ground. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. Amen. Okay, second, balance of authority. Balance of authority as leader. As balance of priority. Balance of priority. Jesus was never influenced by external pressure. He was able to set his schedule and priorities himself. He did not allow the evil spirit and did not hint about who he was. He proclaimed. He also did not let anyone influence his next project. When disciples said, "Everyone want you there," he said, "Let's go somewhere else." He was able to see what the biggest need of those he met. Second, balance of emotion. This emotional balance was always in Jesus. As we can see in the entire gospel, in him we discover courage and sensitivity. He was ready to die in Jerusalem. He knew what would happen to him. He showed his pain at the Gethsemane, sweated in prayer, asking to pass this glass if wanted. He was extremely emotional, but he quietly and without hesitation headed to Jerusalem toward the cross. Next, balance of together and alone. Jesus was someone who was together with people, but also away from them as well. Those who sought Jesus, they were always able to approach him, but that was not always the case, as he spent the crowd away or spent time alone. He knew how to engage people. Luke's story tells us that Jesus spent a lot of time at the dinner party. Some had accused Jesus of being gluttonous of food. GLUTTONOUS, gluttonous of food, and enjoying wine too much. And this was complete opposite of his cousin John Baptist, who lived in the desert, eating wild honey and grasshoppers. But his openness also knew of need to get away from the crowd and spend time alone in the remote place. Of course, he spent time alone to pray, but there was a place where he could really feel comfortable, and that was the house of his friend Lazarus and his sister Mary and Martha. Obviously, he went there open to relax and to get away from the crowd and enjoy the company of his friend. Stephen Neil mentioned about the balance between the Jews among the crowd and Jesus alone. Jesus did not compromise the need for fellowship and the need for solitude. Fellowship and solitude, those two contrasting needs. He felt strongly about both needs and satisfied both needs adequately. Today's man is afraid of being alone. Because we don't know how to be alone, we find it difficult to approach others at times. To find the rhythm of life, whether alone or together, can be the first step toward saving many diseases that are oppressing today's society. For Jesus, being alone also had a very proactive purpose. He did it, of course, to be away from people, but he also did it to be with the Father. Luke pointed out the specific place of prayer in Jesus' life. One of those days, Jesus went out to the mountainside to pray and spend the night praying to God. When morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, who he also designated apostles. This was part of his everyday life. Spiritual leaders have to have the balance of both together and alone. Okay, let's go to the next topic. Great leader who was also a servant. Jesus knew the price to pay as a leader, and he was willing to give himself. I came not to be served, but to serve. Jesus completely changed the standard of power. When Jesus walked toward the cross, he heard his disciples having an animated argument. What were you arguing about on the road? They kept silent, but they had argued about who was the greatest. He showed his disciples that greatest in his mind was different from that the world considered the greatest. Say, if anyone want to be first, he must be the very last and the servant of all. If anyone wants to be first, he must be the very last and the servant of all. Okay, Jesus took on the role of servant. Jesus took on the role of servant. To be a great leader, you must first be able to follow or lead well. By taking on the role of a leader and showing the greatness of the very last, he turned the concept of the power upside down. In Jesus, we see the perfect balance of authority and servitude. After sharing the meal with his disciple, he got up, brought a towel, and wore a basin, and washed the dirty feet of his disciples. Jesus said to his disciple, "I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you." He was a leader of great authority, yet he was acting as if he was a servant for all. Strength and humbleness, it is rare that find both of those great qualities in one man. But in Jesus, we see an abundance of both. Washing someone else's feet was the job of a servant. No one else did it. Therefore, we must know that this leadership as a servant was not give up his right as a human being. To be a servant does not mean that we give up being a leader. Give up being a leader. Therefore, whenever God calls on you, you should never avoid serving others. This is the mission that needs to be completed with the mindset to serve others. Okay, next topic. It's very important topic. Great leader as a shepherd. Leadership is not about the using of power, but to empower others. The word shepherd is a very important biblical term referring to leader who empower others. In the gospel, Jesus referred himself to the good shepherd. Jesus shared everything, his life, goal, dream, time, vision, learning, future, power, even pain with his disciple. First, let us sharing our life, sharing our life. Jesus' training of shepherd were not about developing leadership with a set regimen, but through sharing his life with them. Second, sharing goal together. Follow me and I will make you fishermen. This is the vision that Jesus wanted to share with those who were with him. So sharing time spent together. Jesus included his disciples in his daily life and spent time with them. Jim Monnet The leader of EU said, "Nothing is possible without a man, and nothing lasts long without a system." Yeah, it's a good comment. I like this speech. Okay, to Jesus, the system was not just a system, but a team. In other words, community. Okay, say again. To Jesus, system was not just a system, but a team. In other words, community. And this community was very important to him. To be with Jesus means to share his purpose, dream, and ultimately his pain. Next, sharing our learning together. Jesus taught, explained, and trained his disciple. The relationship between the leader and the education is the most prevalent characteristic of a leader is to learn together with the others from the environment. In other words, it is an ability to be taught. Leader continue to learn. Learning is an essential fuel for leader. Was Jesus the same way? It sounds like a heretical question, but the writer of the Bible clearly said Jesus grew in wisdom and stature. The book of Hebrew also said, although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered. Fifth, sharing of danger. Jesus said, "Go, I am sending you out like lamb among wolves." Warren Bennis say, "Too many failure means the end. Too many failure means the end. However, for the successful, failure means start and the stepping stone for hope." When Peter saw Jesus walking on the water, he wanted to do the same. Jesus told him to come to him, but Peter fell into the water as he became scared. Jesus pulled him out of the water and rebuked him, "You man of a little faith, why did you doubt?" His rebuke was not to intimidate him, but to demand more from him. Peter's faith would not have grown without the lesson he learned from his risk-taking and failure. Next, sharing of future together. Jesus saw what was to come to him and prepared his disciple. "You will be able to study by yourself with the scripture, Mark chapter 13, and another Mark chapter 13, 9 to so-and-so, okay? You must read by yourself, okay? Next, last, sharing of power. The last stage of Jesus' leadership training was to give resources and responsibility to his follow so that they could do the work. He made the same promise he made at the last supper after he was resurrected. He came to those in the same room, showed them his hand and feet, and told them that he was sending them out to the world as Father had sent him to the Father. Then he told them to receive the Holy, Holy Spirit. Amen. Now the relationship between the Jesus and the disciple become that partner rather than the teacher-student relationship. Not only he was not hesitate to retreat, he himself gave his work to their hand. They were not open anymore as he would be with them, only not visible. So we are now in the power of Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, last topic is Jesus communicator. Jesus communicator as a leader. Okay, seven models of a communicator. A great philosopher, Aristotle, explained the permanent principle of effective persuasion in rhetoric. he taught how important it is combined logos, ethos, and pathos. Logos, ethos, pathos. They are very important in communication. Okay, we can learn from Jesus about communication as a leader. First, clarity of word come from clarity of purpose. Know where you are heading. Some speaker make us sing a shooter without the target. They speak without the purpose. But Jesus was not like that. He knew from the start why he came, and his speech reflect this truth. Everything Jesus did and said are related to his cross and the resurrection. Jesus showed us that the clarity of word come from clarity of purpose. Second, know the source and identity of word. The word I have spoken to you are spirit, and they are life. My teaching is not mine own. It came from him who sent me. If anyone chooses to do God's will, he will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. He who speaks on his own does so to gain honor for himself, but he who speaks for the honor of the one who sent him is the man of truth. There is nothing false. There is nothing false about him. He who belongs to God hears what God says. Third, know the power of word. Word live eternally, therefore, must be handled with care. Word have power, and this power is greater than what we imagine when we use them carelessly. Jesus considered the word as a reflection of our character. For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speak. Just as we know what kind of tree it is by looking at his fruit, evil word reflect evil heart, and the good word reflect good heart. Jesus said, the man will have to give account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. For by your word you will be acquitted, and by your word you will be condemned. Our word a reflection of our character. For know your audience. Just the new people different. So answered to Nicodemus, unless he is born again. To Samaritan woman, when he met the Samaritan woman at the well, he promised to give her a living water. Living water. When a wealthy young man came to him and asked how he would be able to receive eternal life, Jesus did not speak of living water to him. He said to sell everything he has, believes in and dependent, and give it to the poor. Then follow me. Zacchaeus, a short man who climbed up a tree to see Jesus, was also a rich man. His greed for money obviously came from his inferiority complex. Therefore, Jesus did not tell Zacchaeus to sell everything he has. Instead, he went into the house of Zacchaeus. Born again, living water, eternal life, and salvation. These are the messages that Jesus wanted people to understand. And next, learning the technique of word. Technique, TECHNIQUES, technique of word. The common element in his conversation is story, metaphor, and questions. His metaphor were small stories, closely related to his great philosophy. His metaphor were abundant, diverse, and specific. Everyday life can become the storage of lessons. Jesus also used question to know what the listener were thinking. When you study the book of Mark, you can see that Jesus asked a lot of questions before explaining things to his audience. We must learn how to speak like Jesus. Okay, next, know your time. His acute awareness of right time is showing throughout the story of Jesus. There was a time when he was staying in the Galilee instead of going to the Jerusalem. One of his brothers, who did not believe in him, urged him to go to Jerusalem during the holidays. But Jesus said, "The right time for me has not yet come. I am not yet going up to this feast." But after a while, Jesus said to his follower, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. It was for this very reason I came to this hour." Lastly, get to the point, get to the point. When Satan tempted Jesus at the desert, his response to each attack was unbelievable short. Unbelievable short. He did not try to lecture him or engage him to the argument. He just quoted the Bible that got right to the point of each temptation. "Man does not live on the bread alone. Do not put the Lord your God to the test. Worship the Lord your God and serve him only." You can read the below material. You can read the below material that I mentioned by yourself. And then let's go to topic Jesus struggle. Jesus struggle. Okay, skip. Okay. Jesus struggles as leader. "Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but the sword. Just rain and wind make mountain. Problem make leaders. To lead is to struggle. To lead is to struggle. In a world like today's, in history that we know, to choose the path of leader is to choose a path of struggle and conflict. Why is that? It is very simple. Leadership always brings about changes, and it always required bring people from one place to the next, from the old way to the new way, and from the safety of the past to the danger of the future. Leadership always is about change, and change is always bound to bring criticism. Therefore, leader must anticipate opposition as well as followers. John Gardner said, "We can reasonably claim a willing participation into the battle when required is an absolutely necessary component of leadership." Let's think about conflict. What is the Jesus conflict? First, distinguish different conflict. Distinguishing different conflict. Jesus felt great pain as he was swept into the great conflict. But he was uniquely free from internal conflict, because there was no internal conflict. He was able to respond to different situations of conflict creatively, flexibly, and freely. In the Gospel, we see that there are four parties against which Jesus waged a war. They were Satan, religious leader, his follower, Gentiles or spectacles. In all four conflict, his weapon were grace and truth. However, he used this weapon a little differently based on the characteristic of each conflict, and we can categorize this conflict into first, supernatural conflict, conflict with opposition, internal conflict, external conflict. Okay, so you must start with the scripture carefully. Spiritual warfare, spiritual warfare of leader. Next, leader's ability and awareness. Is it right to pay tax or not? Should we pay or shouldn't we? His answer to this question is a brilliant example of his ability and awareness. First, knowing their motivation, Jesus knew their hypocrisy. Second, bad intention and being aware of danger. Why are you trying to trap me? Third, changing the direction of attack. He told them to bring him the coin and ask them question to divert the attack. Whose portrait is it? And whose inscription? To answer question by question was the method he used often. Next, seeing the core of the problem. When they told him the portrait was Caesar's, Jesus answered, what is Jesus, and to God, what is God's? He was able to bring out the fundamental point of the problem. The problem was not whether to pay tax or not, but rather, will you remain loyal to? Next, questioning the conscience of questioner. When they deserted him and John the Baptist, he was going back to the question and whether they were obeying to the authority of God or not. Mark pointed out that the enemy of Jesus was surprised and did not dare to question him any further. In summary, Jesus handled the conflict. He could not avoid by confronting them and turning them into his own opportunity. His strategy was to confront them at the right time and retreat at the right time. Next, confront conflict with grace and truth. Let's read together. Conflicts are difficult. However, God is more interested in our character than in our safety. After difficult time, after being scared by conflict, we can make the same confession as Wallace Hamilton made. I am sure that most of us, when we look back, acknowledge whatever character we have formed come from conflict. Conflict happened to us through the strengths hidden deep inside of us. These strengths lies so deep inside of us that we did not know that we were walking when we were struggling with a problem in our life. The weight of life makes us move forward. Okay, then you can see appendix. Appendix, so you must study by yourself, and please read through appendix. This is my bonus. This is a bonus for you. Okay, appendix. And then assignment, please see my lecture note, which was sent by email. Okay. Okay, thank you for listening my lecture, and see you again next time, lecture 5. Okay, bye. God bless you. Thank you.